Kim Wells, Treasurer. Thanks for joining us on the program.
Hi, Libby. How are things?
Very good, thank you. Gee, big day for you.
Yes, we warned that it would be a tough budget, but a responsible budget. And I think that at the end of the day, that's how Victorians will see it. We needed to set the framework to ensure that we had strong finances and a stronger economy over the forward estimates to be able to create the jobs, to be able to pay for those frontline services.
You had us all shaking in our boots, though. It was going to be a tough, tough, tough budget. That's the second year running. And yet with all the scaremongering, we still delivered a surplus.
No. We believe that we have to live within our means. And we have a surplus of $155 million this, the budget year 12-13, and that will build up to $2.5 billion. That's important for a number of reasons. Firstly, Moody's and Standard & Poor's have confirmed our AAA credit rating, so that is really good news, and it ensures that, you know, the business will continue to invest because they're dealing with a AAA government. And secondly, we need those surpluses to pay for the frontline services, the nurses, the police, the PSOs, people working in disabilities, as well as being able to invest in infrastructure.
David,
the previous government were very keen to just build things and stick them onto existing and continuing debt. We don't think that's the right way to go. We believe you have to live within your means.
David Haywood is an economist. He's the Dean of RMIT's School of Global Studies. He's with me in the studio, Kim Wells. David?
Congratulations this afternoon on your budget, Mr. Wells. And I did feel for you as the sound system played up during the press conference.
Yes, that was quite annoying. And I was very happy to move away from the lectern to talk more directly with a journalist there. But then the televisions complained that it didn't have direct sound. So it was unfortunate. But it's one of those things that happen. And, the journalist had a great chance to be able to ask the questions and for me to be able to explain the budget.
Mr. Wells, a question I had to ask, and I was going to ask it this afternoon, but I couldn't beat the journalists who were very quick asking the questions. This year I was expecting that the budget might tip into an operating deficit because of the drop-off in revenues, and I noticed in the budget papers that it's about $360 million of spending due for this year has been pushed out into next financial year. Could you tell us a little bit about the spending that's been deferred and how that's possible?
Well, this government makes sure that when we spend money on a program or an investment, whether it be a school or a road or a hospital, that we will start to fund it when the business case or the proper authorities have all been signed off. We will not throw money at projects that are not ready. And in the case of some of the larger projects, we have what's called a high value, high risk unit in Treasury. And we will have large projects coming in. They have to go through this rigorous process. And only then, where it's, the feasibility study, the business case have all been ticked off, then we will start funding it. So there may have been projects or programs that were ready to go, but when they came to be checked by Treasury and Finance, they didn't pass, they've been sent back. When it comes back again and it's ready to go and being properly accounted for, then we'll start allowing the money to flow. But we're just not in a position to be able to just fund willy-nilly programs across the state.
Isn't that the sort of thing that the Audit Commission, though, sort of says isn't probably all that good shifting money around like that? So you say, well, we're just going to shift it for next year, and it's not clear next year that you will have the cash? Like, tax revenues slipped away in the last quarter, GST revenues slipped away in the last quarter. Is it just deferring something when you can't really pay for it?
No. The situation is that with the revenue falling away, we had $6.1 billion of GST that has fallen away over the forward estimates, plus another $1.5 billion of land transfer duty of another $1.5, making it $7.6 billion of revenue write-down. But it gets back to the point of living within our means. And that means that if the government is going to fund a program or build a new school, I need to make sure that investment or that build is going to be correct and within the budget that we have set it. If the money comes back or the contract comes back and it's well over budget, then we say, no, work harder, work within your means, work within the budget that you have been given. And we look at the previous government with the regional rail, we look at Mikey, look at the Melbourne markets, where their attitude was we will just continue to spend money we won't do it, and the state can't afford to do it.
Kim Wells is the Treasurer. He's handed down the budget today, and he joins you on the wireless this afternoon. It's 19 minutes past 5 o'clock. Victoria's got the highest unemployment rate on the mainland, Mr. Treasurer, and yet you've cut more jobs. How does this contribute to helping stimulate our economy and make Victorians secure in the workforce, given that that'll be 4,200 jobs that are gone? How is that working to get Victoria gainfully employed and prosperous?
Yeah, and Libby, the point you make is right, but it gets back to living within our means. During the Labor time, population was growing at about 2%. The public service was growing at 5.3%. It was growing significantly more than what the population, so something was wrong. So we've had to deal with that because obviously it's a big part of the budget, the issue of wage and expenses. So by reducing it, and this will be mostly in part on a voluntary redundancy program over 2 years, we believe that we can get the public service back to those numbers that were in the 2007-2008 year. And I believe that the productivity within the public service will increase significantly.
Isn't cutting jobs cutting services, though?
No, this is not about frontline services. This is, we've said right from day one, we will be protecting frontline services. It's about the duplication in the head offices. It's about the duplication with entities and head offices. And it's about units that are performing, a work deed in the Commonwealth government and us replicating that same function. That doesn't make sense. We have to rid the public service of that duplication, and we need to focus on the quality of frontline services.
There was the Vertican report, which was a report into governance and finance, which was due to be released in February. I understand that the Vertican report is referred to muchly throughout the budget, and yet it has still not been released. It was meant to be released in February. When will you be releasing it so we can understand the fiscal philosophy behind this budget?
Mike Vertigan's report was referred to in the budget. We did use the report to put the budget together. The Vertigan report made it very clear that the budget we inherited was unsustainable. And the reason they said that is because if you have a situation where your expenses are growing at 7.3% and your revenue is only growing at 6.9%, then that means every year for an average of the 10 years, you are going further and further into debt. So that's what Vertigan said. Today is about the budget, and the decision about releasing the information will be made, over the coming time.
Mr. Wells, for next year, the budget is taking on an extra $4.3 billion of debt?
Well, the debt peaks at 6.5%, and then it drops back to 6%. So there is that spike, and then it will drop back to 6%, or $23.7 billion. We've also made a medium-term strategy of reducing debt further over the next decade.
But debt is increasing. I'm not opposed to debt increasing. I think it's quite sensible to use debt for infrastructure, but you've got a policy to wind it, to get rid of it, but you're actually increasing it at quite a rate.
Yes, but that's only for the next year, but then there's the reduction down. So not only is it a reduction in debt as a percentage of GSP, but it's also a reduction in nominal terms. So that is significant that we're able to reduce debt. And as I said, the issue with the credit rating agencies of Moody's and Standard & Poor's, they have come out and confirmed AAA credit ratings, which is very important, and they like to see that we're able to be able to control debt and the cost of running that debt.
Are you effectively, by stealth, privatising TAFE with this budget?
Well, with the market demand-driven model that was brought in by the previous government, it was a situation where it was just completely unsustainable. And we had to take measures. We've actually put in another $1 billion over 4 years. And we are cutting the cost in apprentices and a number of those courses. But it had to be, better managed than what it has been in the past, because it was just running to a stage where it was just financially unsustainable.
The changes to the TAFE models, mean that the private delivery, the people who are in the private institutions that are delivering the government-funded courses, and the people in the public sphere, the 18 or so TAFEs that are in existence, will be given the same amount of money, and yet the publicly funded TAFEs have got so many more bureaucratic costs. Isn't it effectively squishing them?
Well, with the public service and the public sector, we expect them to operate efficiently. And we have set up a separate program.
Do more with less. Do more with less, do you mean?
Well, no. I think it's about delivering a quality, efficient service and that we get good learning outcomes. I mean, one of the big pushes that we have is in regards to productivity. Improving productivity comes about by having a higher skilled workforce. So the TAFE is very important, but it has to be affordable.
Kim Wells, thanks for joining us on the program tonight. David, did you have any more questions that you wish to ask the Treasurer while he's here?
No, except I have to own up that I did lose a bet because I was sure you were going to end up with a deficit this year. So congratulations, Mr. Wells. I did lose.
Thanks, David. Bet. Thanks, Libby.
Nice to meet you, and congratulations on delivering the budget.
Thanks, Libby. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.